Good morning and welcome. I would hope that you would have your Bible with you, either in digital form or printed form, and that you would turn to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue with principles of a fulfilled life from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, as we look at the right motive. In Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 1 through 18. A person's character is revealed when his or her motives come to light. Motive is at issue in this part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus declared that his followers needed a righteousness that would exceed that of the Pharisees. Because you see, theirs was only external, for show. Acts of worship are to be focused on God, not on self. And the self-righteousness, in order to gain the attention of others. Verses 1 through 18 of this Matthew chapter 6, they address motive in the areas of giving, praying, and fasting. Jesus gave two commands in this text regarding the discipline of giving. First, do not brag about your giving. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from man. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Righteous deeds done for personal honor do not impress God at all. So what's your motive when you do works for the Lord? Whose approval do you seek? God's or man's? It's bragging on your generosity and enjoying the praise that it attracts. Hypocrites, that word hypocrites, it equals pretenders. The term comes from the ancient Greek theater, referring to an actor who uses masks to express various emotions. In the New Testament, it describes a person who is self-deceived and seeks to deceive others. So, don't brag about your giving. And second, do not have second thoughts about your giving. Verses 3 and 4. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. Giving quietly gives no temptation for others to glorify the one doing the giving, and opens the way for God to show himself. It says reward. The future reward of spiritual benefits in heaven. And the present reward of spiritual growth. That's what is going on here. God is omniscient. He sees all. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Give as a response of love for God's glory, not for your own. So, give with the right motive, but also pray with the right motive. Did Jesus oppose public prayer? Well, no. The issue addressed here in our text is religious show business. Christianity is plagued by pretenders. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, You shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. The hypocrites were religious leaders. They were about pumping up their own religious reputations with the goal of impressing the people. Others may praise them as being devout, but God would not pay any attention. The one who prayed in the synagogue stood up front. The one in the street faced the temple to pray. At prayer time, you stop, turn, and raise hands in prayer. And I wonder if some planned to be in just the right place when it was time to stop and pray. I wonder. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. See, the people went up to the temple to pray. It says, now Peter and John, in Acts 3, 1, went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. What was Jesus' remedy for this religious affliction? Well, deal with your motive for praying. Verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Go into your room. Shut your door. Guard your heart. If you can't pray sincerely in public, do it privately. Jesus was not opposed to public prayer. He was dealing with motive. The heathens are unsaved pagans, or it refers to the heathens. Those are unsaved pagans. They offered canned prayers repeatedly, thinking that many words would force God to listen. They repeated the names of the gods. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. What was Jesus' remedy for this religious affliction? Well, deal with your purpose for praying. Prayer is not a tool for either informing God, letting Him know the things that He doesn't know, that He needs to know, or changing His mind on something, wrestling with God to get Him to agree with you and do what you want. No, it's not for either of those purposes. Verse 8, therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Before you ever pray, God knows what you need, and He's already in the process of taking care of that. Jesus taught His disciples about praying with the right motive versus the hypocrites to be seen. He also taught them about praying for the right purpose versus the heathen in order to try and use God for my purposes. What's the right motive? Well, what's the right purpose? Well, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 16, there are six elements of an acceptable prayer. Let's take a look at those for a moment. First, there's how to address your Heavenly Father. Verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Personally, in an intimate relationship, God's willingness to fellowship with us is clear. Yet He deserves our reverence. Hallowed. Hallowed. This word is from the same root word for holy. God is perfect and set apart from sinful man. Listen, He's not the big guy. He's not the man upstairs. He is our Heavenly Father. Hallowed. Holy. So how to address our Heavenly Father in verse 9, but in verse 10, how to include His holy purpose. We're on the same page with Him. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're daily ruled by His plan, not ours, His plan. God's plan of perfecting relationships. Prayer changes things. Usually prayer changes the one praying. The person praying must want God's kingdom, must work to bring it about, and must support this goal. Our prayer is simply empty words if that's not our goal. This is a new perspective on life's purpose. And then how to depend on His provision. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Prayer concerns daily needs. The issue is what is necessary for life. God's provision of manna. God was teaching them to trust Him. He told them, go out, pick up enough manna in order to feed the family for that day. Don't take some for tomorrow, just take it for today. Because if you take it for tomorrow, it'll go bad, worms will grow in it, it'll be of no use. You got to obey. Well, after 5 days, on the sixth day, new instruction came. Take enough for 2 days. After they had been doing one day, now it's take for 2 days. Well, they had to still obey, but they had to change their thinking some. Because those who had tried to take for 2 days found out that it went bad and spoiled, and now they're told to do what they were told not to do because the instruction had changed. That's dependence. Dependence on the physical provision as well as the spiritual. But this doesn't mean that God's our tool for our selfish purposes. And then how to maintain a right attitude in prayer. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Listen, it's eternal versus temporal forgiveness. God's ministry is not available to the unforgiving. If we're going to keep an attitude of unforgiveness, we can't expect God to forgive us. Repentance is in the attitude of the heart, a godly sorrow for sin. If you're not able to truly forgive, then you're not able to receive forgiveness. The same humility is needed either way, to forgive or to be forgiven. And then how to ask for God's protection. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We can pray for protection and deliverance to keep us from spiritual tests, but if needed, to strengthen us. God can spare us from the temptation. He can also strengthen and deliver us from Satan. And then, how to restore our broken fellowship. Verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive them their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's two sides of the same coin. Forgive and be forgiven. We are to have forgiving spirits as Christians. The question is not whether relationships will be broken. They will be. But what do we do when they do break? True Christianity in action is what's seen here. Why should God restore fellowship with you if you're unwilling to restore it with others? We expect God's forgiveness, not keeping track of the offense, and yet we refuse to grant our full forgiveness to others. Listen, there are elements of prayer which are acceptable to God. Or I should say, these are elements of prayer which is acceptable to God. Well, let me ask you, how do your prayers match up? Does your praying reflect this model? Do you need to make some changes? Well, give with the right motive, pray with the right motive, and finally, fast with the right motive. Look at Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head with oil. Anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Having dealt with personal giving and praying, Jesus then addressed the spiritual discipline of fasting. First, what is Jesus not saying with these words? He was not discouraging the practice of fasting. It's when you fast, he says, not if you fast. This indicates that fasting is assumed to be a normal part of one's spiritual life. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus went up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. Fasting was not a high priority in his earthly ministry, but he expected it to be practiced after he was gone. Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Verse 15 is revealing regarding Jesus' perspective on fasting. It has been a very controversial issue in the church over the centuries. Fasting was often mentioned in the Old Testament, usually in connection with repentance and seeking God's mercy. The New Testament references indicate something else. Anna, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 37, "And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 30. "So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." Fasting was a part of worship. Jesus did not discourage the practice of fasting. And then second, Jesus was not discouraging fasting in public, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Some believe fasting is only for times of personal retreat, but it was a regular practice. In fact, 2 times a week was typical among the Pharisees. Just take a look at the tax collector and the Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray in Luke chapter 18, verses 10 to 14. We're not going to read that right now, but Jesus is not discouraging fasting in public. So, okay then, he's not discouraging fasting. He's not discouraging fasting in public. So what is going on here? Well, the same thing in his words about giving and praying. The motive. Do not advertise piety for attention. Sad countenance. Disfigure their faces. Jesus called those who did that hypocrites. They want attention. They want everyone to see how spiritual they are and to commend them. Their phony physical signs of suffering and denial don't appeal to God. They have their reward, Jesus said. So why fast? Well, it's to seek the Lord more intently. Fasting is denial of desires for spiritual benefit. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." And then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church, they prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, another application in a personal relationship, a couple, a married couple. It's specifically what it's talking about here, a married couple in their intimate relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 says, "Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Do you want to know God's will more clearly? Then you got to deny yourself. And fasting is a form of denying personal desires. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. You want to know God more clearly? Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Fasting is a form of denying self. When you resist the desires of the flesh, the physical, to seek the Lord, He knows you mean business in your walk with Him. Before God, it's all about motive. He sees the heart, and He's not impressed with outward show. Give, pray, fast. But do it with the right motive. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this word. Thank you that the works that we do, the disciplines that we exercise, need to be with the right motive. A motive to please you, not to seek the attention of men. In our giving, in our prayer, in our fasting, may it all be for your praise and your glory, and not for our own. Father, we just put all this before you. Father, I pray that you would do business with each one of us, either here or online, listening, watching. Father, we just place it before you for your purposes, that you would do business with us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. And you have a great day.